Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Jamie Torstensen is the choice to become Coddington County's new emergency management director. His selection was unanimously approved by the Coddington County Board of Commissioners at their meeting this morning. After his hiring was announced, he spoke to the board.
Lifelong resident of Watertown, born and raised here. Actually graduated, had numerous fun stuff to do. Back actually got interested in EMS and became an EMT the senior year of my high school.
Torstensen was among six people who applied for the job. All six were interviewed. He says he doesn't come into this job having all of the answers, but he will learn along the way.
It's a neat field. I have a lot to learn, trust me. Refresh a lot of things, but I look forward to it. I'll obtain them. It should be good.
The man that he's replacing, Jim Sutton, thinks this is a good hire.
The thing about Jamie is he's a hard worker, and if you know him and you get to know him, you know, he's a people person, and that's very important for this position, you know, to be able to reach out to the rural fire departments and the city councils throughout the county. And that's going to be one of his pluses there, is that he's a people person and he gets along very well.
Torstensen starts on January 1st while Sutton retires at the end of January. Watertown Fire Rescue is getting a new fire truck. Last night, the City Council approved a bid of about $293,000 from Brandon, South Dakota-based Spartan Emergency Response for the purchase of this new truck. Here's Watertown Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Don Rowland.
This truck's going to replace two trucks. It's going to be replacing a 1989 Ford that we have. That's a structure pumper currently right now. And it will also be replacing a tender truck that provides water to areas that we do not have hydrants. So this will be a two-for-one truck for us.
Rowland told the council the delivery of the new truck is not expected until September or October of next year. Bramble Park Zoo is getting more fencing around its perimeter. The city council last night authorized the zoo to enter into a contract for the installation of 8-foot-tall fence. There's Watertown Parks and Recreation Director Terry Kelly.
2 years ago, we did do perimeter fencing around the actual zoo footprint itself at 8 foot. Took out the 6 foot, put 8. Where we sit is the park shop on the corner of Highway 20 and 10th Avenue is actually part of the zoo footprint. That back wall actually, so part of the secondary fencing is required around the park shop. So this would extend from the zoo entrance down Highway 20, turn the corner at 10th Avenue up to the bike trail about the disc golf course. This is a $36,400 job.
Kelly says the contract will be awarded to Mertz Fencing with the hope that the work can still get done this fall. Well, South Dakota executed the 20th death row inmate in the history of the state last night. 63-year-old Charles Rhines died by lethal injection just after 7:30, nearly 30 years after he killed Rapid City donut shop worker Donovan Schaefer during a burglary. Rhines had exhausted all appeals at the state and federal level. He brought up various arguments in his attempt to live, saying the lethal drugs South Dakota uses are unconstitutional and that the jury that convicted him was biased against him because he was gay. Donovan Schaefer's mother, Peggy Schaefer, was at the state penitentiary last night to witness Rhines' death. She told reporters she didn't want the narrative to be about Rhines, but rather about her son and what a good man he was.
Today is a big day, a day marked with sadness and grief, but also relief and justice. But above all, today is a day we talk about Donovan, the boy who loved his family, fiancé, and friends, the roller hockey champion, the state archery champion, the guy who drove that old red pickup.
Charles Rhines is the 20th person, as we mentioned, to be executed in South Dakota history. The first was Jack McCall, who was put to death on March 1st of 1877 for the killing of Wild Bill Hickok at a saloon in Deadwood. Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has published an interim final rule formalizing the U.S. domestic hemp production program, but growing the crop is not likely to be legal in South Dakota anytime soon. Governor Kristi Noem says she and her staff have been looking through the 150-plus pages of information to determine how it may impact the state.
There's nothing in those regulations that prevent us from having stricter regulations. It does say that we need to figure out a way to move industrial hemp through the state and allow transportation. But I still have concerns about the crop. I have no relief of my concerns on telling the difference between it and marijuana. I don't know how our law enforcement will determine the difference between the two products when they're doing their job each and every day. And so I still have concerns about legalizing this crop in the state of South Dakota.
Noam says she remains opposed to industrial hemp in South Dakota because of the potential impact it'll have on public safety and law enforcement's ability to enforce drug laws.
You know, the regulations are helpful. It allows us to have stricter regulations, so I still have the authority to not necessarily stand up a program if we don't. Obviously, the legislature will weigh in and has been studying it this summer, but the concerns that I've expressed over the last year have not been alleviated. If we do not do this correctly and have the tools to tell the difference between hemp and marijuana, we may be in the situation that several other states are in today. There's other states that went ahead and stood up a program for industrial hemp, and they can't tell the difference between it and marijuana in their state. And now they're throwing out hundreds of marijuana prosecution cases.
Noam says the 2018 Farm Bill that legalized industrial hemp production in the U.S. and the recently released rules from USDA do not preempt a state's ability to adopt stronger rules or prohibit production of hemp altogether.
All they do require of us within those USDA regs is to allow the interstate transportation of hemp. So we have to figure out a way to move it through the state and make sure we have the proper procedures in place so that we don't weaken our drug laws. And so that's what my team is working on. And there are a couple other states that we've been visiting with, too, that have the same concerns. They don't want to move forward with a full program, and we're cooperating with them to see how transportation could take place and actually be workable.
Hemp and marijuana are both cannabis plants but have different levels of THC, the ingredient that causes a high. Well, some changes are in store for one of the country's largest country music festivals. WeFest owner Live Nation says the annual festival near Detroit Lakes has been canceled next year. Live Nation says 2020 will be used as a planning year for a larger and better festival in 2021. The company says WeFest is an important part of the community, and the goal is to, quote, continue to honor and build upon this special event. Since 1983, some of the most famous country music artists in the world have appeared at WeFest, which is held at the Sioux Pass Ranch near Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And longer lines of truck traffic may soon be traveling interstate highways in South Dakota. A law passed by the legislature this year would allow truck platoons. Carla Engel is an attorney with the Department of Transportation and explained the concept to the Rules Review Committee.
It's us dipping our toe into the area of autonomous vehicles. South Dakota codified law 322650, which was enacted in this last legislative session, authorized the Transportation Commission to promulgate rules for the testing and operation of vehicles that travel at electronically coordinated speed and distance intervals.
Engel says the truck convoys would move as a single unit.
What platooning does is it links two vehicles, so that once platooning is engaged by that following vehicle, now they're traveling at synchronized speeds. So they accelerate together, they slow down together, and they stop together.
The Highway Patrol and the State Truckers Association both spoke in favor of the rules. They were approved by the committee on a unanimous vote. That's a look at what's happening from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.